Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Whether you believe you've seen a ghost or not, most of us have at least heard a good ghost story. Sometimes there's just something about a place and its history that intrigues us and maybe creeps us out a bit. In honor of Halloween this weekend, we wanted to take a look at some of those places in Illinois. We're joined now by Colin Dickey, an author and critic whose work deals with ghosts, death, and haunting. He wrote the book Ghostland, An American History in Haunted Places, and more recently, The Unidentified, Alien Encounters and Our Obsession with the Unexplained. He's also a professor in the Arts and Humanities Department at National University. He's based in Brooklyn. Colin, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Also joining us from Galena in northwestern Illinois is Ted Williams. He's been researching Galena's history and hauntings since 2001, along with his spouse, Robin Davis. They own the Haunted Galena Tour Company. Ted, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Brian.
Colin, in your book, Ghostland, An American History of Haunted Places, you highlight several mysterious places around the country. I wonder if you've discovered if there's a common thread among them, or maybe a pattern that makes a place, quote unquote, spooky?
Obviously it's difficult to kind of summarize all of it into one simple thread, but a recurring kind of motif that seems to come up again and again is architecture that's a little bit off, and specifically architecture that is a little bit anachronistic. So architecture that, you know, a building that kind of lives beyond its era, I think is the kind of building that is most likely to accrue stories of ghosts and hauntings. I mean, you know, we think about haunted houses as, you know, we think about Victorian houses as being haunted. We don't think about, you know, mid-century modern houses being haunted. There's something about a building, you know, once it's sort of aged, you know, past its prime and, you know, has something sort of a little bit distinctive, a little bit strange about it. Those seem to be the ones that really kind of the ghosts gravitate towards.
Yeah, no Eames designs in the Scooby-Doo opening images. You know, Ted, Galena comes up quite a bit on lists for the most haunted places in the state. For those of us maybe who haven't been there, what is the town like? What do you think it is about Galena that makes it seem haunted to so many people?
You know, first of all, it's a really large historic city. Galena was founded in 1826, and today it's a town of about 3,500 people. Most of the city is on the National Register. It's the largest intact historic district in Illinois, certainly. And so because of that, a lot of the buildings that are here today were here back in 1840, 1850. And so it's a very old building or a very old city. The neat thing about it is that because of that, and this gets a little bit into what Colin just stated, is that we have these buildings that have been around far past the time that most other buildings in the state would have been, you know, prevalent. In other words, you don't see this kind of architecture in these sort of buildings of this age in one spot very often. So right there, people walk in and it's got kind of an old, creepy feel. But there's something more to it. You know, Galena gets about 1.5 million visitors a year in terms of tourism. Certainly some of these buildings here are notoriously haunted. I don't know if Galena is any more haunted than anywhere else in the state, but I think more people come through Galena and actually get a chance to interact and witness this phenomenon. And so because of that, we have a dearth of reports that come through. We see a lot of people saying, I saw this or this happened to me in these various sites. So I think the combination of having such an intact historic place with a combination of robust visitorship has led to all the reports of Galena being really, really haunted. And certainly there are places that are. But again, I would argue that it's not necessarily more than anywhere else. It's just more people get to see it.
Okay, so let's get into a few of these stories, particularly set in Illinois. Ted, you run a Haunted Tours of Galena business. What is one of the stops that people are most excited or maybe creeped out about seeing, and what is some of the history behind it?
Sure. I think one of the most popular places here in town is the DeSoto House Hotel. Built in 1855, this was a grand hotel that was meant to project Galena's prosperity. At the time, Galena had been mining lead for 30 years and had become the largest and most prosperous city in Illinois. And they wanted a hotel that reflected that. So the DeSoto was constructed. And it's still in business to this very day. Originally 240 rooms. And anybody who was anyone back in the 1850s came there. Abraham Lincoln gave a speech off a second floor balcony. You had Ulysses S. Grant, people like Herman Melville, Mark Twain, Susan B. Anthony, the list of dignitaries goes on and on. But at some point, an apparition forms in the basement of the DeSoto House Hotel, known as the Lady in Black. And the Lady in Black is an apparition that's seen moving around in the basement, which today is actually a really nice restaurant area. But staff and visitors alike over the last 160 years, really from about the beginning of the Civil War, have reported this apparition. And I would argue that it's probably Galena's most well-known apparition and also one of the most accessible. The DeSoto House Hotel is a public building. You can go in and spend some time there and actually look around. They're well aware of the legend of the Lady in Black. You can get the T-shirt and everything. But it's a lovely hotel, and we always try to steer folks there who want to stay in Galena for any length of time. It's a nice place to stay. And I should also mention there are quite a few other apparitions other than the Lady in Black that we believe also haunt the place. So I would say that's our most notable.
Colin, in your book Ghostland, you write about the Stickney House in Illinois, and this house has a sort of a bizarre feature to it. It has, as I understand it, no corners. Can you tell us a bit about this house and the legend behind it?
This is a fun, weird house. And yeah, it's about, an hour and a half outside of Chicago. It's a beautiful little two-story house with some nice balconies. It's got a kind of, Italian style architecture. It was built in the mid 1860s, I believe. So it was sort of new and exotic at that point. Now it's maybe a little McMansion-y almost, but at the time it was kind of nice. And the story about this house, which is kind of funny, is that its corners are rounded on the exterior, and the balcony corners are also rounded. And there's this vague association with rounded rooms and rooms without corners and spirits and spiritualism. There's stories about how you want a room that has no corners in it because then the devil can't catch you in the corner and that kind of thing. And so there's this kind of evolution that grows up that rooms without corners, circular rooms, are somehow related to spiritualism. And so George Stickney, as far as we know, really had no connection to spiritualism. He was living during the real heyday of it, but he doesn't seem to have any connection to it. I couldn't find anything when I went looking, but nonetheless, this building has kind of gathered a reputation, again, because I think it's just sort of a little bit off architecturally and has stood the test of time. It's currently the police department for Bull Valley. So it's, it's still in use. And so now there are these stories of spirits. And one of the funny things I like about this house is that there, it will be described as, there's no 90 degree angles anywhere in the house, that this is all part of, proof of its thing. And in fact, when you look at the house, it quite clearly has all sorts of 90 degree angles. It was built professionally. The windows are square. there's this kind of push and pull between a desire to kind of make it a little bit more exotic than it truly is, while at the same time kind of, trying to preserve what does make it kind of special.
Interesting. Listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about some of Illinois' spookiest places in recognition of Halloween this weekend. We're joined by Ted Williams, who's been researching the history behind some of Galena's supposedly haunted spots. He's co-owner of Haunted Galena Tour Company. We're also speaking with Colin Dickey, author of Ghostland, An American History in Haunted Places, and The Unidentified, Alien Encounters and Our Obsession with the Unexplained. I have to say, listeners, because to make schedules work, we taped this conversation in advance, so unfortunately you cannot call in with your favorite spooky places in Illinois, but we'd still love to hear from you. You can always tweet us at 21st Show, email us. The address is talk@21stshow.org, or better yet, leave us a voicemail. 217-300-2121 is that number. Once again, 217-300-2121. We'd still love to hear what you thought about our conversation today. Colin, in your recent book, The Unidentified, about alien encounters and, our obsession with the unexplained, you have some other Illinois stories mentioned. One is in Oak Park involving an alien conspiracy theory. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is one of the great stories about alien contactees and something that was a whole lot of fun to write. In the mid 50s, in 1955, a woman in Oak Park became convinced she was communicating with extraterrestrials from Venus, and that they told her that at the end of the year, December 21st, 1955, the world was going to end in a giant flood, but that they would arrive beforehand in flying saucers and take her and her group to safety. So she spent the summer with some of her more devoted cohort, trying to get the word out and sort of gathering together this group of people that was going to, last out the apocalypse. And unbeknownst to her, her group was infiltrated by a couple of psychologists, including Leon Festinger, who was the lead researcher, trying to understand kind of what was going on in these folks' mindsets. And the subsequent book he wrote, When Prophecy Fails, is where we get the term cognitive dissonance, which is still in use, which is basically what happens in the brain when you believe one thing and the facts contradict it. Because sure enough, Dorothy Martin's group, got really excited about December 21st. Everything was building toward this great moment. And, as you may have heard, the world didn't actually end on December 21st, 1955. And so, the group, some of the group drifted away because, they felt a little bit foolish, but the ones who stayed really doubled down on their beliefs and they really sort of clung to it. And so, cognitive dissonance sort of is, describes the way in which Dorothy Martin and some of her extremely close confidants continue to believe that their prediction was right, even after, the big event came and went.
Ted, I wonder, Whitten, we only have a few minutes left in our conversation today, but, have you experienced anything personally supernatural or strange in Galena?
One of the neat things that happens is we do our Haunted Galena Ghost Walk, which is a walking tour through the downtown area. And we always have encouraged people to just take photographs, just that way they've got some remembrances. But we were pretty surprised that a lot of people taking photographs on the tour began to capture things that were really somewhat surprising, full apparitional images. We've had a number of those photographs, and when people get them, they send them to us or they bring them over to us right on tour so we can see that this wasn't something that was concocted in Photoshop. It was taken live, and we collect those. That's really kind of a neat thing, and it gets a little eerie because as we have to walk through these places every day, we get a bigger and bigger body of evidence suggesting that we're not necessarily alone.
We only have less than a minute left. Colin, I want to give you the last question here. A reviewer of your book from the Wall Street Journal wrote that by looking at these stories in Ghostland, there's a lot we can learn about ourselves. And I wonder what you learned about America writing about its ghost stories.
I think that the main thing I learned is that I, like a lot of, school children, grew up with this idea that, America's history was quite sort of stable and settled. We won our independence, and then, there was a terrible civil war, but we abolished slavery, and, we sort of moved through these kind of, difficult periods and sort of gradually got better and better and sort of didn't look back. And I think what I found with so many of America's ghost stories is that they were ways for us to approach maybe obliquely some of these kind of traumatic areas of our past that maybe we actually hadn't really faced or really processed like I think we thought we would. And I really like looking at ghost stories because I think they're sort of, kind of a Freudian return of the repressed. They're a way for us to kind of confront these things that we might not otherwise talk about. And as such, I think they're really fascinating.
We're going to have to leave it there. Colin Dickey is the author of Ghostland, An American History in Haunted Places, and The Unidentified, Alien Encounters and Our Obsession with the Unexplained. We've also been speaking with Ted Williams, who, with his wife, is co-owner of the Haunted Galena Tour Company. Colin, Ted, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
That is it for this week. Before we go, I do want to suggest you check out if you missed some of our earlier conversations from this week. You can find those on our webpage, 21stshow.org. We interviewed Governor J.B. Pritzker on Wednesday, and on Tuesday, we talked to an epidemiologist about how to safely enjoy Halloween. You can find that again on our website, 21stshow.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and NPR One. Just search for The 21st. Our program is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Eunice Alpasan is our engagement producer, and our interns are Zainab Qureshi, Brielle Skullark, and Chantel Vaca. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you next week.